And yes, there are a couple of bulletins still up here on the front if you need one. I think it's been wonderful to have church in the park this summer. I do not own any committees that have a vote, but if I had one, we'd be here again next week. But since I don't have a vote, I believe we're going to be back in church next week. So I'll see you back on 7th Avenue. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. That's about all I have for introduction. Sometimes some of our friends and members and people that we know go on to be with Jesus, and it's not always easy on us. And so it is with deep regret to me and you too, I'm sure. And if you haven't heard the news, we have lost dear friend and wonderful church member this week. Gary Larson passed away Friday morning. And Friday afternoon, Bonnie Foster's father passed away. So this Friday was a challenging day for our hearts. And so we keep those families, as well as our families, concerned in prayer. Please join with me in the call to worship. God is with his people. He dwells in their midst. Listen and hear him speak. God is our help and our support. His Spirit moves among us to lead us in holiness and righteousness all our days. We sing God's praise with rejoicing. Call upon him. The Lord is our hope and our salvation.
Since Bonnie's not with us, I asked Susan to lead our first song.
This could be interesting because I sing alto for him, so good luck. Okay. All right. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at God's command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. God formed the creatures with a word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eyes. If I survey the ground I tread, or gaze upon the skies, there's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests blow by order from thy throne. While all that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care, and everywhere that we can be, thou God art present there.
It is only by the power of God that we are able to stand against evil. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sin. God, we suffer, we fear, and we feel despair, yet we forget to call out to you. Remind us that you are working for us, that you love us, and you bring us hope. Remind us sometimes that you have been faithful to those who call out to you. Forgive us for the times that we focus only on our own needs and our own desires, and remind us to focus on the needs of others. Forgive us for asking, "How long, God?" instead of asking, "How can I help, God?" Send us out to declare, "God is faithful, God is with us, God is hope." And in silent reflection, now stand firm in your faith, covered by the saving grace of God, and ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Now we'll sing the Gloria Patri. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Faithful God, how blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Sanctify us by your word and spirit, so that we may glorify you in the company of the faithful. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Listen to the word of the Lord. Our first Old Testament scripture reading is from the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Psalm chapter 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise for he has been good to me. Our New Testament reading comes from the book of James, chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Keep these words in your heart. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Be to God.
Good morning. As I was reading the scriptures today related to our lectionary, I was actually drawn towards the reading in Psalms, which is sort of unusual for me. Very few times have I actually chosen to preach on Psalms. I'm not really sure why. I know it's a beautiful book of poetry. It's filled with verses that fill us with hope, like Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It's full of verses that fill us with an understanding and a praise of God's steadfastness. For example, Psalm 18, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge." And I know Psalms is full of praise, like Psalm 100. "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." The book of Psalms is beautiful and it's powerful. And I think maybe one of the reasons I haven't chosen to preach on it in the past is that really there's not always anything to add to a psalm. A psalm is complete in itself. They're usually very easy to understand. You read them and they just fill your heart. So it's a little hard to add anything more to a psalm. Usually I'm drawn to stories of God's people, stories that I can relate to my own life, stories I can relate to our life as a church. Usually just stories are what I'm drawn to. But this time, Psalm 13 really spoke to me. And I think maybe because in the short six verses of Psalm 13, there really is a story. So I hope that you'll be drawn to it as well. So let's pray. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, so Psalm 13. While reading Psalm 13, I was struck by David's powerful expressions of hopelessness, aloneness, and despair. God, why aren't you listening to me? And then, six verses later, his sincere expression of praise. Listen again to the first line. "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" And then to the last line, "I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." I was drawn in. How could David's thoughts of despair turn to declarations of praise so quickly? Imagine yourself in despair. Something's happened in your life that makes you wonder if God is listening or if he cares for you. Some of you may not have felt that yet, but I think we all will feel that sometime in our life, at least once. And it's almost impossible to see the path from where we are to where we need to be, trusting and praising God. This reminds me of a story. You may have heard this story of the city tourist who's driving down the country road And he stops the farmer and he says, hey, buddy, could you tell me how to get to the Rutland farm? And the farmer says, you take a right down here and you turn right and, no, that's not going to get you there. Maybe you turn around and you go through the city and you go over the, no, that's not going to get you there either. Actually, you can't get there from here. And isn't that sometimes how we feel? When we're in despair, we're waiting for something to happen. We're waiting for that feeling where we can trust and praise God, and we just can't figure out how to get there. But that's what the psalmist felt at the beginning. And so we want to follow and see what he did. The first thing he did was he called out to God. He didn't just sit in despair. He called out to God, and he says this, and I'm reading from Psalm. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? He doesn't say, God, you must have forgotten me. He doesn't say, God, you left me. He just asks, how long? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I suffer? How long must I feel alone? How long will my enemy or my trial triumph over me? The psalmist believes that things will turn around, that God will be back in his corner sometime. He just wants to know how long. Now, this psalm is short, and you may get the impression it's just six verses, so maybe it turned around really quick for him. But we all know that God's time is not the same as our time. God uses his time to help us grow, to prepare us for the next step. Remember the story of the Israelites who were freed from Egyptian slavery, and for 40 years they had to wander the wilderness before God felt they were really ready to enter the promised land. I'm certain they wondered, and I know they complained. How long? How long, Lord? But God was busy. He was preparing them for that next step. He was getting them ready to trust in his plan. He was getting them ready to trust each other, to show reverence, to be patient. He was waiting until they were ready to trust him. And then in Lamentations today, you were hearing Jeremiah's thoughts as he wandered the streets of a destroyed Jerusalem. For 50 years, God's people lived in exile. Actually, I think it was 48. But for 50 years, they lived in exile wondering how long. How long before they could return to Jerusalem to rebuild the city? And during that time, God was reshaping the people. He was teaching them to trust God. He was teaching them to trust God's plan. And how long did the Jews wait for the Messiah until he finally came as a baby in Bethlehem? Certainly God was using that time to prepare the people for the Messiah. And you know today we're asking how long? How long before we can go out into the world again without our masks? How long before we can visit friends? How long before we can give a hug or even shake hands? How long before the virus is under control? And how long before we live in a world, a country, or a community where not even one person is prevented or discouraged from dreaming big, living their true life in the body and the skin that God has given them? How long before each of us, every one of us, feels safe to be ourselves, safe to worship our God, and safe to live together in community? We're still asking, how long? And yet we also know God is using this time to prepare us. I've heard a lot of people talking about this. We're learning to be patient. We're learning to be more thoughtful about our actions. We're finding new ways to be connected with others. We've grown to appreciate connections with others that maybe we had taken for granted before. My son started a few weeks ago family game night that we do on Zoom. So my son who lives in Florida, my daughter who lives in Iowa, and Robbie and I that live in South Dakota meet almost every week on Zoom and play games. So we found a new way to connect. We talk to each other on the phone maybe once a week. Now we talk on the phone two or three times a week, and we Zoom almost every week. So new connections, and it's forced on us, but I think that's God reshaping our plans. We're also beginning to open our eyes to the inequities in our world. We're beginning to actually seek change instead of just complain about change. We're beginning to take action. We're beginning to change ourselves, and we're beginning to take action to change the world around us. God is waiting. God is shaping us. And when we're ready, God's plan will become evident, and we'll be able to live the life that God envisions for us. Reading on in Psalms, David keeps talking with God. Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. What's he saying? Look on me. Give me answers. Help me understand, or in my despair, I might just give up. Give me hope. Help me remember that you are at work. When we pray, how many times have we prayed asking God to change something in our life? Save a friend, heap vengeance on our enemies, heal us, take away the heartache, change our behaviors, change others' behaviors. But the psalmist instead is just asking for understanding. Help me, God, to understand. Give me hope so that I won't give up in my despair. We often pray to ask God for things or to ask God to do something. We think if we pray hard enough, God will grant our desires. Even though God already knows our needs, God seeks a connection with us through prayer. He wants to hear us express our needs. He wants us to open our heart to God. So pray. Pray fervently. Pray constantly. But remember, prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes us. Through prayer, we connect with God so that we can receive reassurance, so we can gain understanding, so that we can change our own perspective. The psalmist prays, give light to my eyes, give me understanding, give me hope, so I won't give up. Finally, David remembers that he has publicly proclaimed his trust is in God. If he gives up, his enemies will believe that that trust is foolish. The psalmist understands his role as God's agent here on earth. We can pray with the psalmist, help me, God, to keep up hope, to demonstrate hope, so that others also can have hope in you. As we consider these turbulent times, I know, and I hope you do, that there will be an end to this. There will come a time, maybe when we have a vaccine, maybe when a large percentage of us have developed immunity, who knows when. But in God's time, the virus won't be as dangerous. We do have hope. I know that someday, and I think it may be closer now than we ever thought it could be, we will all live together safely and in peace, empowering all those around us. I haven't given up hope, and I hope you haven't either. As we, a church community, make plans to return to the sanctuary, to continue worshiping, to be a positive force in our community, we show that we have hope. We trust in God to lead us through this dangerous time. As a community, we can be a beacon for others. There is hope. There is a future. God will lead us. Finally, we reach the end of the psalm. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Just like the psalmist, how can we do anything but praise our God even during difficult times? God who gives us hope. God who loves us unfailingly. God who through his grace has allowed us to lead forgiven, blessed lives. As Jeremiah wrote, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Maybe you've heard this story. Horatio Spafford was a Christian whose family was planning a visit to England to see an old friend. When the day arrived for the ship to depart, Horatio was delayed, so his wife and his four daughters went on ahead of him. While crossing the Atlantic, their ship was struck by another vessel, and 226 people were killed, including all four of his daughters. Horatio traveled to England to stay with his wife. And as he traveled over, he wrote this song, "It Is Well With My Soul." When he was at a point of despair, just like the psalmist, he found that path to a place of hope, to a place where he could still praise God. Listen to some of the words. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul." So in a time of despair, he found that path. He found that way to trust and praise God. We may know despair, we may know fear, we may know shame, but we also know God is alive and working in our lives. We may wonder how long it will be before God intervenes. How long will God need to reshape us, to prepare us, to use us to help others? And we may wonder how we get there from where we are now. We can be reassured in God's time, all will be well. Whatever happens, God will find a way to make it into good. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. Amen. Now I hope you'll join me in singing, "It Is Well With My Soul." When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let his blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. Trump shall resound. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. That was beautiful. Thank you. Please join me in the affirmation of faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now, our liturgist was going to be Andrew Lemoore, but he was not feeling well today. So I'm sorry that it turned out to be kind of Robbie and Donna the whole time, but Robbie filled in kind of at the last minute. Now Robbie is going to do our special music. So during the special music, please reflect on how you can offer your time, talents, intellect, and resources for God's work through this church and in other ways. Ask God's blessings on all that you can offer.
We all know that man was not meant to be alone, and during this unusual time, we are forced to be more alone than we normally would be. And yet I suspect that this particular crowd gathered here has been able to spend more time with solace in the Bible than perhaps they were able to have before, even if they weren't able to have their regular Bible study on Thursday mornings quite as often. So I'm going to be singing a song called The Family Bible. And if you know the lyrics to this song, I certainly would appreciate your help in singing along, and I hope you enjoy this. There's a family Bible on the table. Its pages worn and hard to read. But the family Bible on the table will ever be my key to memories. At the end of day when work was over, and when the evening meal was done, Dad would read to us from the family Bible, and we'd count our many blessings one by one. I can see us sitting round the table when from the family Bible Dad would read, and I can hear my mother softly singing, Rock of Ages, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Now this old world of ours is filled with trouble. You know it is. This old world would also better be if we'd find more Bibles on the tables, and mother singing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. I can see us sitting round the table when from the family Bible Dad would read, and I can hear my mother softly singing, Rock of Ages, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Rock of Ages, Rock of ages, cleft for me.
Thank you, Abby. And now let's join in the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us pray. Nurturing God, who welcomes all who sincerely believe in your sustaining grace, we are grateful that you compassionately offer your children an eternal home. We recognize that this offering is only one way that you call us to practice Christian discipleship. So combine these financial resources with our talents, prayers, and presence so that we may significantly influence the lives of others who seek your love. Amen. And now it's time for prayers of the people. So we want to remember those that we're asking special care for. Dan and Michelle told me that they saw Bob and Jan Jones back in town. So apparently they are back home. They were at Lowe's getting plants to plant around their garden. So they must be doing much better, and that's terrific news. We're also keeping Jack and Alice Edge, Lee's parents, in our prayers. We also need to keep Lee in our prayers as she deals with family dynamics and, you know, the loss of her upcoming loss. We also need to keep Gary Larson's family in our prayers, Pam, Alyssa, and Ross, and their extended family, and of course, all their friends. Alan Young, still having heart difficulties. Actually, I haven't heard any update on him. Has anybody heard any update on Alan? I think that he's doing just fine. I know that he spent some time out at their cabin on the lake, so taking some well-deserved time off. We also need to keep Lauren Boy, Bonnie's father, and his family in our prayers. And Bonnie. Judy Smith, oh, I guess Bonnie and the kids. I shouldn't just say Bonnie, but Joel and Paige and Lynn and Gail all love their grandfather. Judy Smith, how's your hand doing? Better this week, good news. And then Tenno Vanderwall, how's very slowly getting better. Glad he's getting better though. And Sharon, anybody heard any news on Sharon Webster?
She's getting better too.
She's getting better too. She was at the Heart Hospital for a while. She home now? Recovering slowly, has a ways to go. And then Donna Wilson's sisters, Rhonda and Terry. I happen to know Terry from the physical therapist office, so I stopped Dick. I saw him at the grocery store and asked how they were doing. Rhonda is still undergoing chemo, but Terry had some tests. She had cancer previously, and they were doing some tests, and everything came out clean. So that was really good news for that family. We also have our prayer families, Richard and Donna Wilson, Alan and Sue Young, and Adam and Katie. We have our homebound members we want to be sure to ask special care for, and if you have time, send a card or make a call. Barb Borstad, Dolores Kepsel, Nona Marshall, Helen Peterson, Cliff Rendells, Stephen and Carrie Van Buren, and Dee Watson. Prayers for our sister church in Madison. Prayers for all of those affected by the coronavirus, whether they were affected because of the disease or closing of businesses or unemployment. It's just had a wide range of problems. And of course, prayers for the healing of our nation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let's pray. Father, As we finish our final worship service in the park for the summer, we thank you for this respite, this opportunity to join together safely and in beautiful nature and to worship you. We ask for your presence with this congregation as we return to our church building next week, and as our new friends either return to their own sanctuary or join us in ours. Father, we ask that you give strength and hope to those who were just mentioned and to their loved ones. We ask for your presence in our congregation and the worldwide church. We ask for your guidance for our leaders, that they will seek your wisdom as they make decisions. Open our eyes, our hearts, and our hands so that we can see, appreciate, and do your work in our community, in our country, and in our world. Guide us, O God, by your Holy Spirit, that all of our prayers and all of our lives may serve your will and show your love. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. When I knew we weren't going to have a piano, I thought, oh good, I can use my mother's pitch pipe. So I found my mother's pitch pipe. She used to be a choir director, and at Christmas we always went Christmas caroling. The choir would go and the whole congregation would go. I went to a really small church, and so if something was happening, everybody was there. And we'd all go caroling, we used to call them shut-ins. We'd go to all the shut-ins' houses, and we'd stand in front of their house. My mother would play the pitch pipe, and we would sing Christmas carols. So I was really glad that I got to use it. So our final song is My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And I kind of like that the announcements have been moved to the end, but we do have some announcements. Next week, we go back to our sanctuary. As Robbie said, it's kind of sad. It's been beautiful out here, but I suspect it's going to start getting a little too hot. So we may be glad to be in the air conditioning pretty soon. We'll be meeting back at our usual time at 10:30. Please do bring and wear your mask. I just believe that wearing a mask is a way of showing your Christian love for others. So I wear my mask anytime I go out. Even though I know a lot of people around town are not, I wear mine because I just feel like it's my way of showing that God loves them too. Somebody did ask if I would talk briefly about our plan for going back to the sanctuary. I went in the church yesterday, I think, and I see Building and Grounds has already taped off the pews so that there are only certain places you can sit, so you'll be in a safe area. We're asking everybody to wear masks and wear them from the time you enter the building. We won't have any social hour, any time of gathering inside the building. If you want to gather, if you want to chat, feel free to do that outside with your mask on, keeping the 6-foot safety area, okay? We'll have hand sanitizer available. We'll ask you to use that hand sanitizer as you go in so that you'll be safe in the sanctuary. And if you happen to use a public restroom, we ask that you clean all the faucets and the handles and all of that. We'll have wipes there for you to do that. Please clean them before and after you use them, okay? Because we never really know who else has used them. We just really, really want to keep you safe. A session really wrestled with this idea of coming back into the sanctuary. They don't want to be the place where somebody got sick. So we're just asking you to follow all the precautions that we're asking for and any more you know of. So let's just try to be really safe. Did that answer questions about how we're going back? Was that enough? Okay. So now, as we go out into the world as God's people, remember that God is at work. Be patient. Let God shape you. Let God prepare you. And let God use you. And with the psalmist, we can all say, I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. And together we can say, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from the other. Amen. Y'all have a great weekend, rest of your weekend. I hear the kites are up out at soccer field, so drive by, see those. See you at church on Sunday. Baby.